Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me again today is Zoe Muris. Welcome again, Zoe.
Hi.
Great to have you. Let's start with a prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we ask that you bless all of our listeners. We ask that you fill them with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which they need this day to hear your voice and to grow ever closer to you through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Zoe, the last we were talking, we were kind of weaving together parenting, your experiences from growing up and your own parenting with sort of modern educational theory and practice, which was kind of, people may wonder, what the heck does this have to do with the faith? So I thought maybe we could continue that a bit. And I think kind of the appreciation you have as an educator and, you know, as a mother in the in handing on the faith and educating in the faith. And one of the things we were getting at was kind of this creating a Catholic environment and a Catholic tradition that kind of enables them to approach the world. And as we proceed, I think the first question that kind of really struck me from our conversation was that freedom. So your parents gave you that sort of freedom to kind of decide what you believe in and not. And I wonder, you know, like what do you see as kind of the appropriate point for children to kind of have that freedom?
Sure.
To accept or reject the faith on their own.
Yeah, I think growing up, I needed more guidance. I didn't have the tools I needed to learn the Catholic faith without my parents. They sent us to PSR. We went to Mass regularly while we were going through the sacraments, my brothers and I. But after that, as a teenager, I think I myself needed more structure. I needed my parents to say, this is what we're doing because this is what we do as a Catholic family. And for kids, that guidance is what's necessary. We need guidance in freedom. Kids need to know the path, but they don't necessarily need a tether while they're walking that road. But to say, hey, we go to Mass on Sundays because we're a Catholic family and that's what Catholic families do, gives them the opportunity and the environment to ask questions about the Mass and what the different icons mean or the different statues or the different parts of the Mass. But they can't ask those questions unless somebody gets them there. And that's, I think we need freedom within boundaries, and I needed more of that growing up.
Yeah. You know, I hear so often, especially I think youth that have encountered the Lord through like say Catholic youth summer camp or some other thing, where their parents don't take them to Mass, and there is this sort of, it's an interesting phenomenon when children kind of have a stronger faith than their parents. And I think that the one of the kind of the difficulties that a lot of parents deal with is dragging their kids to Mass and this sort of battle and fight. And I think some parents just kind of give up and say, well, just stay home. Or there's also the sense of sports, you know, that, you know, Sundays are so busy. Well, I'm going to let my child decide whether they want to go to the tournament or whether they want to go to Mass or not. So I don't know, how do we kind of navigate that area?
I think it's a lot of routine. Parents and families need to establish a plan. We wake up at this time on Sundays, then we go to Mass, and then we talk about the homily or some sort of tradition, like what we were saying before. Maybe a family wakes up and has a really special breakfast every Sunday, and then that leads them to Mass, and on the way home they talk about prayer or they talk about communion or their intentions from the Mass. And creating a schedule for their family to practice the faith could make a huge difference. In having expectations for Sundays and communicating about those beforehand can set the expectation of, we go to Mass on Sundays, and it doesn't matter what else is happening. the family needs to value the faith and needs to value Mass above other things and other priorities on a Sunday. And it's hard because culturally, kids need to be playing sports or they need to be hanging out with friends or having sleepovers. But when a family decides, no, this is important and this is how we celebrate Mass every Sunday, then they can instill that in their families. And hopefully that's something children carry with them as they age and go to college and have those same traditions with their friends and then their future families too.
Excellent. If you're tuning in to Conversations on Discipleship, I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Zoe Miras. Zoe, I wanted to kind of go back to an earlier part of your own story. You know, in college, through your friends and through this sort of non-denominational ministry, you came to re-encounter the Lord. And I think a couple things to kind of dig in on that is, one, I think in that whole experience, did you still have kind of this Catholic identity?
I definitely did. My husband and I laugh about it a lot because I remember going to church. I went to a non-denominational church near OSU's campus throughout my college experience. And I remember being there thinking, they're taking communion, but it's fake. And in my head, I just kept thinking, it's all fake. It's just bread and grape juice. And nobody explained it. Every time they got up there, they just said, this is a symbol of our faith. And in my mind, I'm like, that can't be a symbol. That's not true at all. And that's not what we believe. That's not what I believe. But everybody would get up and they would take communion and sit back down and pray. So I was doing that too. But I remember thinking in my head, like, this isn't right. I know this piece of it isn't right, but I didn't know how to find my way back from that understanding.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I just had a conversation with one of our seminarians, and that was really his sticking point in his own conversion, was the Eucharist. Like, he went to a non-denominational church and he recognized, hey, we're doing this, but like there's a certain literalness that the Lord gives us in John chapter 6. And you know, I think it really, you know, we all hear about how this belief in the real presence is, you know, allegedly quite small, you know, that there are so many Catholics that don't understand it or don't believe it. But it is such an important linchpin, you know, that maybe it is why the devil attacks our faith in the real presence.
It probably is. I think for us as Catholics, we overlook it sometimes, especially when it's a piece of information that we learn at such a young age. But then having exposure to something different is what is very enlightening. Seeing that other people believe different things, that's, for me at least, that's what hit my heart so strongly. I'm like, I just couldn't believe that it was a symbol for other people and not the real presence.
And I think to go a little further in your own experiences, you know, as you are coming back to the church and as you are now, you know, fully back in the church and practicing the faith, what lessons have you taken? Obviously, coming to know Christ through the non-denominational church. But I mean, what other lessons in the spiritual life and as a disciple do you keep with you from that experience?
There are a lot of things that follow me around. I think for a lot of young Catholics, the church can be a very ugly place. It's not as pretty. It's not necessarily as inviting as non-denominational churches or establishments. And I keep that in mind a lot. So when my husband and I go to Mass and we see younger couples, we try and keep them in our mind as those people are people we need to talk to, because it's something that the Catholic Church can lack at times. It's a very private Mass. It's a lot of prayer in your own heart and partaking in the Mass through prayer and through communion, but it's not necessarily the same invitational environment that other churches have a really good grasp on. So keeping in mind younger couples and thinking, like, we need some way to connect those people to us and to the church, is definitely a lesson. How can we get young families and root them here in the Catholic Church versus other faith outlets? How do we bring those people back home?
And, you know, it's a crucial, I think, precondition for evangelization is we recognize what we needed and it wasn't there, and that compels us to be mindful of those who need that. So for instance, like in my own experience, I was not well catechized. I did not know the faith, and I recognized how little I knew about the faith, and that moved me not only to come to know more about the faith, but then to be concerned about whether people know the faith or not. And that really, that is at the heart of, you know, all of us are called to be evangelists in our own, you know, way, to bring the gospel. And part of that is we often go to the people or are drawn to the people who had a similar experience to us.
Yes, I would agree with that a lot. It's easy to recognize the brokenness in other people when it reflects a lot of what you've gone through as a person.
And I think as we kind of wrap up, maybe your prayer life, how that has, you know, has grown, and maybe how it was strengthened there at the beginning, but how it has grown since.
Sure. I know in college, my husband and I just talked about this recently. We, as college students, have so much more time. I think it's the most time I've ever had in my life. And I've been able to read and pray for hours on end. But then being engaged and becoming married, it's transformed more into little prayers every moment throughout my day that I can get them in, and then prayer with my husband and prayer with our family.
Beautiful. Well, you've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today has been Zoe Miras. Thank you so much, Zoe, for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And until next time, peace and all good.